no, the
spoon.
All right. We're locked in. Gloucester cast 183. Before I say one other word, I want to say happy birthday to the beautiful, my beautiful Kate.
Happy birthday, Kate.
It's her birthday, 28 years old.
Sing happy birthday to her.
28 years old. Can you believe it? She's amazing.
Yes.
She is a Wonder Woman.
Yes.
You know what amazes me about Kate? Just a few things before I do the introductions here. What amazes me about her is how she gets as much done as she does throughout the day and still carries it off with grace and laughs and beauty. Like how does she keep herself
That's
together
wonderful.
Like that? Right?
Yeah. Gosh knows, I don't know.
And she's hilarious. She's literally probably one of the funniest people I know. And she's goofy. But usually, like, beautiful, beautiful women like that aren't, like, funny.
Yeah.
But she's funny. She's truly funny.
Good.
Anyway, happy birthday, baby. We have Miss Kim Smith with us today.
Good morning, Gloucester.
We have Nicola Schraff, which hasn't been on a podcast for a while.
A while.
She's
Good
back.
Good morning.
A busy lady.
And we have Kat Ryan here.
Good morning.
She's like got to pee her pants over there.
We got to say Kat doesn't... She's very shy.
She's very shy.
About
she's so active in the community, but then she gets on the podcast in front of the camera, she gets shy. I don't know what that is, but Kat is probably most famous for having her children, which is kind of funny. She's this big art dealer, and now her children are stealing all her thunder. Charles and George with the slave coat, bachelor coat. What do you call it?
The Civil War coat.
They're still kicking ass on that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They finished.
And so this past week, they were involved with the Martin Del Vecchio. Where is Martin? Matt Harding.
Matt Harding.
Yeah. Thing, right?
Yeah. Well, we went.
You went?
Yeah.
So explain the scene to me. And explain, can we back up? Because
yes.
To people who knew who Matt Harding was, it was a big deal. But some people like me didn't know who Matt Harding was. So explain to me why Matt Harding was a big deal and explain to me the scene.
Okay. So he was a viral YouTube sensation, and I don't know the exact specifics, but somewhere around 2004, he started traveling around the world and dancing at iconic landmarks and beautiful scenery, landscapes, by himself. And on one of them, in New Guinea or Africa, he was dancing and kids joined in. And then Stride Gum.
But was the tagline on all the videos, "Where is Matt Harding?"
So people would have to figure it out. No, it was "Where the hell is Matt Harding?" And then that was switched recently to "Where the heck is Matt Harding?"
Yeah. So in the video, was a part of the thing like you really don't know where he was, or did he? Did
no, you know.
Oh, you did know.
He puts the name under it, and when he splices everything together and makes these 4-minute videos.
In the one that he did for Gloucester, it's in front of the fisherman's statue.
Yeah, so and this is a smaller place. Usually it's a big town, at least in the States.
That's because we've arrived.
Right. But
we're not a little unknown town anymore, if you haven't figured that out.
Right, and also I think that's why Martin was a little worried. There might not be a lot of people that showed up, but tons of people did show up. I mean, just the right amount to make the dance.
So
right?
it's a goofy dance or something?
Yeah, so he stands
show
up
us.
And does
like a jig?
A vertical jig, and he just dances a little, and
it's
then
a goofy
people
dance.
Join in and dance, and it doesn't mean it's going to make it to the final cut. But it's just joyous and silly.
Nice. And your kids participated. And Martin Del Vecchio, we're going to get a drone video from him soon?
Yes, we are. I think he said he was going to send it to us today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So. Oh, good. Some
either
content for us.
Either today or tomorrow.
Okay. Right.
But when he started it, you know, he was young, going around traveling the world, and now it's 10 years later, and I think he has 2 kids, and it's a totally different thing. But the first videos... I think he bought a house and he's in Seattle.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it's,
right,
it's
very
definitely his...
And also I noticed that on one of his, maybe it was Facebook, he lists himself as a designer. So I'm not really sure, you know, I didn't research any further.
Also the type for computers.
Yeah. It was for computer. Interesting.
Another shout out I want to give right away is to my nephew BJ, who graduates today, this morning, from St. John's Prep.
That's so exciting.
And it's going, I could not be prouder of him. It's a good young man, hardworking young man. He's got like two jobs all the time, and he is going to Syracuse next year for the business school.
Congratulations.
So very happy. You know what I love about my nephew is that, like, we actually hang out. Like, he'll come over and we'll watch games. We watch a lot of sports together. So, like, I don't have any sons, but he's not, like, you know, he's not my son. He's obviously Barry. But like, it's nice to have a young person that you can watch sports with, a young guy that has sports. And he hangs out with all the guys. He's done a couple homie casts with us now. This past year, he's gone from a teen to a man. Like, if his legs have filled out, and he's like, they're like hairy. And he's just like,
happy graduation, DJ.
What? What's that?
I just took a turn from a nice, like, I'm so proud of you, to you have really hairy legs.
No, he's like a man, though. Like, you know, he's like not, he's not a kid anymore. He's like a full-fledged, full-on, like, man-child or whatever. Adult.
Awesome school, business school, in particular at Syracuse, is hard to get into.
It's really hard to get into. It's like number 13 in the country, I guess. It went up like 10 spots this past year. And more importantly, it got voted number one party school in the nation. On that big publication where they rank schools. Very, wow. That's big.
I was just assuming the Florida schools were like the number one party school. I was like,
oh, I would assume an SEC school like Ole Miss or Auburn or Florida State would be too, but no, apparently.
We haven't compared names, but BJ is graduating today with a whole handful of some of my past students who I taught through the ages before they all took off and went to St. John's. So I always mean to like compare names and ask, but when Felicia has pictures of the St. John's events, I get pictures of my past students at the very same event, and I keep on waiting for their paths to cross. I'm sure they know each other. But
she sent me pictures from she's going to have the graduation party today. And as per usual, Sister Felicia style, she has these cookies decorated with the Syracuse Orange Man mascot. Aww. And I don't know how she does it. The whole room, there's just huge banners. And, like, nothing is ordinary. Everything is
over the top.
So happy for BJ, happy for, proud of him and everything. Nicole, this past week, you spent the week as a tourist.
Kind of, yeah. Speaking of Harbor Light students, so the middle school students at my school planned a trip. Typically the class trip will take them further away, like Washington or Montreal or New York City or something, but they wanted to really study the ocean. And so they built their own trip. Part of the thought was that while they all live in the area, they haven't really experienced a lot of this firsthand. And along with that comes, if you stay local, you have more money in your budget to really do a lot of amazing things, which they did. So they custom built their week-long trip. They rented a suite house down on Wingersheet Beach, and they crashed there for the week. And they had from Monday morning until 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, they did more than a lot of people probably do all summer long. And I got to leave my younger students in my own classroom and join them, and they were just they were everywhere.
So what did they do? Amazing. What were some of the things they did?
Well, they first of all they tagged their week long learning as the Coast Camp, so COAST for Cape Ann Ocean School Trip. I don't know if I got that right, but they had a great logo they designed. They had shirts made again and again. Made them sail bags for their trip that they used with Tony Wilbur from Maritime Gloucester, the education director. And they used those bags all over Cape Ann to collect debris and whatnot. They went on the Ardell with Harold Burnham for a really great sail for 4 hours one of the nights. I was able to join them for that. They went to Hammond Castle. They went to Halibut Point. They got on to the Adventure. It was too rough to leave the dock, but they spent some time on the Adventure. They were scheduled to Lobster with Mark Ring, who agreed to take them all out, which was awesome of him. Unfortunately, the weather didn't cooperate, but he totally stepped up and agreed to do it. They had Felicia over to their house on Monday to prepare a great dinner. They all dove in and helped. They did the shopping and for what they needed for the week, and then Felicia showed up with her ingredients and got them all involved in preparing a local seafood dinner.
Nice.
That they loved. I mean, they did everything. They did so much more. They met with two different artists, an Essex artist and a a Gloucester artist. They sat down with Angela Sanfilippo and learned about the Fishermen's Wives Association and some of the changes that happened years ago to help the fishing industry. They did everything. There's a good group of kids, cool. Learned a lot, participated
a lot.
What
age was that?
They're 7th and 8th graders.
7th and 8th. So is that, what year is high school start?
9th grade.
So they're middle school.
Yeah, middle school. Yeah. And then at the end, and I don't want to talk about it the whole time, but then at the end, what they did was take a bunch of the debris they had collected from Dog Bar Breakwater and Halibut Point and different coastlines, Maritime Gloucester, and they went down to the beach at Wingersheek where they were staying and built this really great art installation with the different things that they found. And
did you post pictures of it?
Not yet, no. The only thing I did pictures of so far was them with Felicia on Monday. But I
want to see the pictures of the art installation.
Yeah, the paper came down in Maritime Gloucester, like I said. Tom Belf came down and Tony Wilbur was down there. And it was really great to hear the kids explain the vision that they had for this art installation and how every piece told the story. Their kind of message all week long was, how do we tell our story of what we've learned about the ocean and our impact on the ocean?
Wow.
And then they chose this great piece along with some journaling and documenting and whatnot to really explain their trip. And it was gorgeous, and they had to take it down afterwards because you can't leave it on the beach. But just good kids learned a ton, and so great to see them interacting with people like Harold Burnham and people who I've known.
It was 8th and 9th graders, or just
7th and 8th?
7th
middle school.
7th and 8th, right.
And does your school end at 8th grade? Or does it?
We do. We end at 8th grade, so half of these children are off to high school next year.
So those kids started out in 1st grade, so they've been at the same school for 8 years?
Some have, some haven't. We have an infant toddler center. Thatcher and Finn started at my school at 5 months old.
Wow.
So some of these kids start as infants and graduated as 8th graders.
You spent a lot of time
some
with these kids.
Some kids come in from other schools, different ages for different reasons, but some have been with us from the get-go. So.
You have an amazing headmaster.
Yeah, we do.
Is his name Paul?
Paul Horowitz.
Yeah.
Who is an avid reader, follower.
Fan of the blog? FOB?
Yes, he loves
Good
Morning
Gloucester.
But he lives over in Annisquam with his wife, Betsy, and phenomenal.
Also, they were very interested in on the Boys Project as well. They came to I think they were at Austin Gloucester. Yeah,
nice.
And they were
good
really,
people.
Totally good people.
Really, he and his wife just. I met them there, and they were just really.
I'm really glad you had the chance to meet
amazing.
Them.
Amazing! I love them.
Yeah, I did like them right away.
Kate says, I love
really
them.
Really nice.
You know how Kate is. So there's two type of people in our life. I love him, I hate him. There's no one in between. I love him, I hate him.
Anyway, great trip, proud of those kids, and so excited to see them navigate their way around Cape Ann and learn, some things that many of the grown-ups I know in this area don't know. So
that's awesome.
That's tremendous.
Speaking of middle school, my daughter Eloise is going from grade school to middle school next year.
She's going into 6th grade?
Yeah, 6th grade. She's 5th grade now, so she's going into 6th grade.
Oh, that's so fast.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh,
so, but what I didn't realize, and maybe they do this now, but I don't remember this when I was going from grade school to middle school. I remember we did this in high school, and then we did it in college. We had like senior week, where you do like a whole week of different activities where you travel and like all field trips and fun stuff. Like for grade school, she's got like almost like a move up. Yeah, there's all these different events for like every single day. They have a cookout, they have a move up day, they have this, that. It, like, wow, like really psyched for her.
Yeah. It's a big move.
I imagine that there's got to be a lot of anxiety for a kid moving up and like moving out of your comfort zone with all the kids that you grew up with in this small school to the. Now you're the little kid on the totem.
Now you're not the big 5th grader anymore. You're the little 6th grader.
So she'll move to when I was in Hamilton, what was the high school? Now the middle school, the high school, where that big giant building is.
Yeah,
right? So she moves there.
And Madeline will be at the other place. They're still at Winthrop.
Yeah.
So they're going to be at two different schools, two different pickups. It'll be a lot of fun.
Good times.
It's like an hour apart. Like the drop-offs are like an hour apart.
Oh, my God.
How that's going to work. A lot of fun. A lot of quality time. So anyway, this this show, Lettice, and it's spelled L-E-T-T-I-S-E.
I-C-E, I think.
Didn't I say I-C-E? What did I say?
Oh, did you? You said S.
You said S, but it's okay.
It's my
guys.
I'm an idiot. I meant,
okay.
L-E-T-T-I-C-E and Lovage opened last night, and Kim's going to talk about a little bit about that.
Well, I just want to say it's starring Lindsay Krause, and Benny Sato Ambush is the director, and I had a chance to meet him when Heidi hired me to take photos at their big annual spring celebration
Gala
that they had, and he is so funny. He and this, I want he and Bob Walsh to come on the podcast.
So tell me the premise behind this show.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know that much about it. I believe
it's a comedy.
It's a comedy, and it's about a woman who works at.
Have you seen the cat?
Who's a host at who gives tours of an old house. And she doesn't like it that much, so she would she make things up?
Yes. And it was a hit with Maggie Smith on Broadway.
Yeah.
And supposedly, according to Lindsay Krause talking about it, she wanted roles. She wanted some good roles for older women.
Oh, awesome!
And this is a good.
So
yeah.
She talked to the playwright, and the playwright wrote this. So.
So
both of you have tickets? Kim, you're going? And Kat, you're going?
Well, I'm invited to go today to the press thing, but I'm actually going to the Gloucester UU thing. So I'll go later. Tom and I will go later in the week. Oh. But are you going today?
No, we bought tickets for next week because we're going to see people for the UU.
The UU today. Thing.
You got to go see the sea shanty people get their award today.
Pauline?
Yes, Pauline is getting
Pauline Bresnahan, huge FOB.
Yes, a super lovely lady.
We love her.
Cummings. There's a lot of really nice people getting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We love her.
So, but also, I just wanted to say that we need to have... we should have the director of the play and Bob Walsh on a podcast. Bob Walsh is the artistic director.
I want them here next Sunday.
Okay.
Make it happen.
Okay, so I'll try.
How about Wednesday? Anytime this week.
They did such
Friday?
A funny comedy routine that it was...
We have to have them
funny,
on.
Funny together.
So. We have to have them on.
Okay, yeah, that's...
Make it happen.
Okay.
Snap your fingers. Take time off from work. Rearrange your schedule and make it happen.
Okay,
what?
And bring donuts.
No donuts.
No donuts.
I know.
No donuts.
Yes.
But if we have special guests, I bring donuts, right?
You can torture me with the donuts like Donna brought the fucking shortbread cookies
Dave
over there.
Dave and Nancy.
No sugar right now?
Dave and Nancy, we had...
Kate's got on a nice diet.
Kate's got me on an awesome diet. We feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I reinvigorated. no chips, no crap, basically no crap. Nope, we're trying to stay away from a lot of processed stuff.
I've lost 10 pounds in 1 month.
You look amazing.
In 29
That's unbelievable.
Days, I lost 10 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, calories in, calories out.
The way you're walking, you can see everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I feel great.
Yeah.
I've still got a pile more to go.
I think a lot of people I know are on diets right now. But yeah, Kate's been doing this.
Yeah.
She's been cooking these super, super healthy, meals. But she's been finding these ones that, taste good as well.
Super healthy and tasty. Yeah.
I mean, really.
You can't beat that.
She made this avocado. So we had salmon the other day. Oh, let me tell you the salmon story. hold on one second. I'll tell you the salmon story. So part of what Kate's been doing is she finds these great proteins. We're not doing any. I go over quickly. No pizza, no carbs, no chips.
Yeah.
Whatever. No.
No processed food.
No processed food.
Okay.
So she's gonna do salmon, and she's gonna make and use this unbelievable. And I have to get the recipe from her for the avocado salsa, which is over the top. So, she says. She went to a fish market out of town. First mistake.
Oh,
which is fine. Yeah. Actually, I know the guy that owns it. It's a very high quality fish market.
But they're twice as much money out of town.
Well, sometimes. Sometimes not. So, I go to Steve Connolly in town for my seafood because they're really good there. They got a good fish cage. Anyway, so she says, oh my God, 3 pieces of salmon cost $50. I'm like, my jaw just went. like boom. Like how? I'm like, are you sure that what they didn't make a mistake?
Right.
Because like when she buys, she buys a protein, she generally buys like a pound and a half of protein.
A pound and a half for two people, right? So
three people. Actually, Eloise was going to eat two.
Oh, okay. So say even if she bought two pounds, that's $25 a pound.
That's $25 a pound, right? So
that seems bananas to me.
It does sound bananas, doesn't it? It sounds a little bananas, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it was, but she had so here's the thing. So the stuff that she's eating also is no hormone.
No hormones.
So she didn't want to buy the farm-raised salmon because they have hormones and stuff.
Right.
So right. This is wild-caught salmon. So
yeah.
You could have bought the regular salmon for $8.99 a pound, but the wild-caught salmon was $27 a pound.
This isn't the season for wild-caught salmon.
I've never paid fucking $27 a pound.
Well, you deal lobsters.
But also, wild-caught salmon isn't in season. So you can get really good farm-raised salmon if you find out where it's coming from. Like the farm-raised salmon that we buy comes from the Bay of Fundy, and the folks at Turner's have actually gone there.
It's amazing. Right. I understand that. I totally get where you're coming
from.
But
the time to buy wild-caught salmon
is when it's in season.
When it's in season.
Right. There's nothing worse than ordering something like that and getting it and not knowing the price and then them being like, that'll be X amount of dollars, and you being like, oh shit, like, you know.
Right. So it's like an embarrassing thing. You're not going to tell them to take it back
because you're
embarrassed.
Right.
But so instead of losing my mind on her, you know what I mean, when the text came in, I said, well, you know, just chalk it up to be, it's a lesson to add, you know, make sure you see what the cost per pound is before you
actually,
and then maybe you can alter your plans.
You better make something really phenomenal with this, or is that?
I didn't even add that in. Because honestly, she's been cooking
crazy,
great meals,
and
I am so thankful and appreciative because she worked. I mean, just like you.
Right.
But all you, Kat, do you work too now? What are you doing now?
Same thing I always do.
Oh, the art designer and dealer, right?
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys work and you have children. It's tough for you guys. I mean, I get it. Come home and always have to have a new dish. Ready?
A new exciting meal ready.
Yeah, right.
Well, it wasn't like that, it's not like that in our household. I mean, I do a lot of new things, but I also have everybody's favorites too. We have everybody's.
You gotta keep a Rolodex of winners.
Yeah.
When you have a winner, you put that in the Rolodex, and you just rotate. You know, once you get like 20 winners.
Yeah, that's good.
Just rotate through
that.
What?
No, that's about what I have.
You collected 20 winners.
About 20 winners.
I mean, I could rotate 20 winners. For,
yeah. You know. Well, recently I started making green chili enchiladas with chicken, and they're just a huge hit. If you find fresh corn tortillas, you know, which they don't always have those in the shops around here, and green tomatillo salsa, it really makes a great little dinner. And like Alex is, even when he's not coming home for dinner, he's like, oh, can you make like five for me, Mom?
That's awesome. That sounds like mouth is watering thinking about that.
It's so easy. I mean, it's a little time consuming, but it's super easy, and it's just, you know.
Nicole, what's your go-to?
I knew in my head, I'm like, he's gonna ask. I don't do a lot of the cooking in our house. I don't. Freddie gets home. Well, okay, first of all, Freddie has been out with his arm surgery for months. Mm-hmm. So he's home all day, and I'm gone from 7 to 5.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Every day. But even on a normal day when he's working, he goes to work at night, so he gets home at like noon. And I get home at 5, and usually the kids, you know, they shower, hockey, we're at the rink, or now they're at baseball, and then, you know, they're in bed. So dinner's usually underway by the time we get home, because it has to be.
But say... what's your favorite? What's your favorite, like, you know, semi-healthy meal that tastes good?
I'll eat fish all week long. So anything, you know. But I also, we like to grill. I'm not a big fan of like coming home to pork chops and whatever, or baked anything. And often, while he does a lot of the cooking, I end up making an omelet at like 8 o'clock at night and doing something like that because I try to go out for a run or a walk with the dog. So. I've said this before, my mother and my sister are phenomenal cooks. I don't know where I was. I was busy you know, at the Red Sox, or
teacher.
I'm going to be like, or writing books or something, you know, I'm going to play that card. I was busy doing other things during those years, so I would like, when the boys get older, to go back and take some nice classes and learn more, but our schedules have just always been that we come home and Freddie's been there for 4 hours. He likes to cook, so
there you go.
So he does it.
You're a lucky girl.
And then do you do the cleaning?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, you can
make a can of worms. Because I do a lot of cooking, and Tom loves to clean. He loves to like do the dishes. So it's like some kind of meditative thing for him or something. So that's a happy thing for me.
Yeah.
What? Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, that's nice.
It's really nice for me.
Kat, you don't cook, Kat? What's the problem? Do you not cook? Why don't you want to answer the question? You don't have a go-to meal?
No.
People love to hear about cooking. What's your voice?
I don't even understand why I was
talking. I think she thinks that we might be boring people. I don't know. You think we're talking about cooking too long?
Go.
What are the boys' favorites?
What's your nationality, Kat?
What?
What's your nationality? What's the world?
No, right now, this week we're on a Trader Joe's kick. We'll say that for right now, but
you get a lot
prepared foods.
We cook all different things, and we cook with the kids. Really cook too. So
what's
your cooks a lot? I don't have a go-to.
Yeah?
I don't.
You don't like to cook?
No, it's okay. I'm just not.
It's interesting.
And I'd like to know why I got such a funny face when I said that that my husband likes to clean up the kitchen.
Oh, that's really sweet of him.
It is.
It's nice.
It is really nice.
It is. No, I said when you said that it's like cathartic for him or something.
Yeah, it is. He's very, you know, because his work is so cerebral all the time. I think like
sometimes you need the opposite.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a very opposite thing for him. So.
Right. See, like for example, for me, like my work is so grunt.
Right.
Mundane and right. Not cerebral.
Right, you don't.
The part that being creative
is something you want to do right after dinner. Right.
And it's very similar to like the way people dress. Like I have to wear like crappy clothes for work all day long, so I enjoy getting dressed up to go out for dinner or something like that. Whereas some people are like, oh my god, like I just want to get into grungy clothes.
Right, because they've been in a suit opposite. All day or whatever.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy like that?
Right. But you know, my father-in-law, he wears a suit every day. And we always laugh because even like on Saturdays and Sundays, he's got a bow tie and a jacket on.
I love that.
And he doesn't, and his brother he's passed away now, but because my father-in-law is 92, and he wore a carnation in his three-piece lapel suit every day.
Badass. That's so badass. That's from that generation.
Yeah, that generation.
We mentioned Pauline Bresnahan and the UU thing is tonight?
It's today at 3.
Today at 3.
3, right.
A lot of stuff happened today.
Yeah.
May's busy with the graduations and stuff.
Yeah.
We want to talk about the lobster rolls. And you really, 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 Kim, love the Passport's lobster rolls.
Yes, and I'll tell you how they make it special there. When I ask them, it comes on a Virgilio's roll. However, I always ask them to just put the lobster meat on a plate with all the salad all around it. But how they serve it is on the lobster, is on a Virgilio's roll. And I love it that way, because when you go to Passport, you already get a popover. So I feel like that is enough bread for me for one time. But besides that, the lobster meat is so fresh and so chunky and so sweet and so delicious. And then all these beautiful medley of veggies all around it. I mean, that's my idea of a lobster roll, even though there's no roll inside.
A deconstructed lobster roll, right?
Right. And I was asked recently, and this is where I recommended that people go. So.
There you go. Very nice.
Yeah.
I know I can vouch for them that they definitely use. They buy lobsters almost on a daily basis from us. So they're shucking every single day. There's nothing that even goes in a fridge overnight because they burn through so much lobster meat with shucking them fresh. Nicole, describe your personal favorite lobster roll. How would you build it?
I don't like cold lobster. And I don't like mayonnaise, so I love lobster. We catch lobster all summer long, and the boys in the traps. But I like lobster. I don't like, so if I was gonna have a lobster roll, quote unquote, it would be warm, sans the bun, butter, maybe like a toasted bun. Not a lot of bread. You said popover. I'm thinking we're onto something. A lobster stuffed popover.
Do you know something? Come when on. She said the same, I thought the same exact thing in my head.
Bad
could you imagine
boy.
If they hollowed out the top stuff and put the
drizzle some?
Like, I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. Like we both said the same thought. Yeah. I guarantee you, because people, Kate obsesses about it. She actually went in there the other day because she was going to go visit her sister that just had the baby for her birthday. Went in and got a popover for her sister. And Connor loves the popovers too.
Who doesn't?
But literally, we thought the same exact thing. When you said, the past parrot said, you have the popover on the side.
Right.
Imagine if you took out the little top and you stuffed. Because those popovers are already so buttery. They're buttery as it is. He would be.
Sticking out of the
he would legit. No one. I don't know that anyone's ever done it. And he would probably sell a bajillion because people love his lobster rolls. And they loved his
Eric, are you listening?
We're going to have a conversation. Like, I feel like I want to stop the podcast right now and call him up.
Seriously.
No joke. That's a really good idea.
That's a great idea. I'm going to talk to him about that.
Not to go over the top with passports, but their wine dinner was...
You were there this week, too.
I saw
Craig was there as well.
Craig and Hannah were there, and a friend of theirs, Jay, who I met, who seemed very nice, but it was just... The food was just exquisite.
The pictures look stupid.
Oh my god! I mean, those clams casino. Tom said it was the best pot roast he ever had. Not that I don't make pot roast, but he, you know, whatever. It was really. It was so tender, and I mean, it was just.
Well, that's
amazing.
The idea of pot roast. You cook the
but
shit.
I mean, there was like this sweet, thick sauce, sweet and savory. I would say thick sauce on top. That was some. Tremendously reduced.
Thing going
yeah,
over
it,
there.
It was tremendously reduced, so it was like so full of flavor.
Where?
And then amazing shortcake with a little homemade.
The shortcake looks stupid.
And you know what, Jeremy? You know what they did?
What?
They put a little bit of. I've never had shortcake this way before. It was really good. In addition to the whipped cream, there's a little bit of vanilla ice cream in there too.
Oh,
isn't that a good idea?
Damn.
Yeah. Shaking it up.
I was having this conversation with someone. Maybe I think it might have been Mark Ring the other day about how, you know, a lot of places all around us don't have places where you can get like all these you know, chef owned restaurants where you get all these eclectic meals, like your passports and Duckworths and all these places to get this non cheap pan food, like.
Right.
And Beverly, you know, there's new on Cabot Street, but other like North Beverly, you get like Not Your Average Joe's. It's that sheet pan central, you know, and we're so fortunate. Right.
I know. I mean, it's hard to choose sometimes. It's really hard to choose.
Kat, we didn't ask you yet. Favorite lobster roll.
I like mostly meat in a toasted bun.
In a, like
regular,
the hot dog
classic,
bun?
The classic
lobster.
Very light mayo, mostly just fresh good lobster.
So I used to be, for years I was the hot dog bun, take it off, slather the butter, get it golden brown with the cold mayo and lobster mixture on the inside. I tried, I don't know if they call this Connecticut style, but the bun, done the same way, toasted and buttered, but then just lobster meat with no mayo in it, and then drizzled butter over that.
Oh, that's how my daughter Liv likes it. That's how she.
And
likes
that
it.
Is now my new favorite.
That's your new favorite.
Yeah, mayonnaise and lobster. I can't. Yeah, I don't get it.
It is so good. Try it. Everybody should try it that way.
Do you like? You just don't like mayonnaise, or is it sweet mayonnaise, or have you ever had homemade mayonnaise? Like I used to make mayonnaise, and it's real. It's so much better.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a mayonnaise fan. I mean, I don't know what else I would eat mayonnaise with anyway. I'm not a tuna fish, you know, chicken salad kind of.
Potato salad.
No, none of that.
Really?
Yeah, well, there you go. So we all went through our lobster roll things.
Yeah.
Some places in town that use live lobster and in their lobster rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely passports and... in Rockport, the lobster pool.
Lobster pool uses fresh.
We went there this week.
Gets an amazing amount of lobsters and shucks them all.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and they go through a lot of lobster rolls there.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of people's favorite. They were actually up for an award, or they were in a vote for a national vote for best lobster roll.
Mm.
So,
wow.
So there's that. Next weekend, we want to start pumping this right now. Our friend Bex is involved with this. I don't know if it's the Harbortown, Harbor Walk people. I don't know.
It's Harbortown Arts. It's the Harbortown Cultural District.
Harbortown Cultural District.
But it's called the Harbortown Arts Festival.
The Harbortown Arts Festival. And it's a couple days. Saturday, May 28th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. There's like a ton, there's a bunch of different locations where they're going to have different kind of art installations. I think there's music going on too. We'll have in the calendar at the top of Good Morning Gloucester pinned there, there will be the schedules so you can get it there.
Is it Sunday as well?
Saturday and Sunday, Sunday. From what I see here. Today, we're a little late to this, but the Cape Ann Artisans Tour is in the second day of their weekend.
Yes, it's concludes today, right? Is that correct?
Concludes today. So by the time you read this, everyone will have their doors closed. It'll be completely useless information to you.
But they have them frequently. When's their next
one? I think they do a fall and a spring
one.
Yeah,
I think so.
And I think we did post about it.
Yeah.
But, so there's that. Kat, you had a question. Look at you, shake your head every time I go to you and she starts shaking her head.
You know, we just,
what do you think I'm going to ask you? Like some kind of personal question?
No.
No, you asked.
You might, so you know.
She's just very shy.
I'm very disappointed that Nicole didn't bring the Bloody Marys for today.
Oh, I was not
asked. That was kind of a tradition and now.
It was kind of a tradition once. I got shaken down so fast, Joey, that Bloody Mary got crushed.
We went to the, was that the time we did the guest thing at the rum line?
It was on the Sunday before St. Patrick's Day, right? And we went, but you didn't press record, and so we had to do it twice, and that meant twice as many Bloody Marys.
It was ugly.
Yeah, yeah. I had the hiccups. You said, so happy Thanksgiving at the end of it to everyone instead of happy St. Patrick's Day.
I don't remember that at all.
UGLY, ugly. Yep. So, Kat, why do you so you had a question like, why none of the homie cast guys show up for the Gloucester cast?
Well, we'd like some guys sometimes.
You want to bring a little more testosterone into the mix?
Yeah.
Or just
mix it up.
You know, maybe people can't go to so many. So before, when you had them, there'd be a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, so
and it was nice with Marty's video and how you said it was an opportunity to get to hang out.
Marty Luster's video.
Yeah, Martin DelVecchio.
I think that was for your, was that for Joey's birthday? Always for his birthday, we do a special one, right?
We had a lot of people come for the birthday, and then for Fred Bowden's memorial one, we had like 31 people, more than ever.
Right.
The reason I don't have the guys from the homie cast here is because I really try to have separation. Because the homie cast is very, it's, you know, somewhat inappropriate and. You know, the people on the Good Morning, so there's the Homie Cast has its own website, and I post funnies on there and stuff, inappropriate funnies and stuff like that.
I'll have to check it out, inappropriate funny.
Yeah, no, it's like, but it's guys being guys, and it's unapologetically guys being guys, and I feel like every time I post, like, so I posted something the other day.
It was the wasting beer boob lady.
Yeah,
she's crushing the beer cans with her boob, and I thought it was funny. And
I didn't watch the video, but on Facebook I saw some responses to you.
I've totally lost all respect for Good Morning Gloucester. Like,
I didn't write that, for the record. Did you? I just write it.
I thought you did on an anonymous thing. So that's why, Kat, I try to put separation, because I feel like when we do the homie cast, it's unapologetically thing there. So I'm trying to keep Good Morning Gloucester a little bit, so we all are, huh?
We're more pure.
Yes, much more pure. Yeah. So that
I'm just teasing.
But Kat wants.
Joe, you want to know what I want?
What?
I'm looking at your water bottle. I need one of the, if any fan of blogs have one, I need the blue Good Morning Gloucester sticker with the pink wing.
That's what I want in my new car.
I may have them.
I'm very selective with what
I
want to support.
I will look.
My boys are mad that I haven't supported Good Morning Gloucester. They point out
the breast cancer thing.
Well,
is that the reason why? That,
yes, yeah. But I also like it. I like the sticker.
No, but was that your original reason, or was it that? Did you just say that because I said breast cancer thing? What, or is that why you wanted the pink wing one?
Yeah, I'd like it for that reason, and also I would like a Good Morning Gloucester sticker, but I only want one. And that's the one that I want.
Okay, I will look through the archives. I try to keep a couple of each version because I had a plan to do equally spaced on a, like almost like that Warhol, what's that one where the curlicues and they're all little different colors? You need to know this. Huh?
Sounds like you're going Warhol-like.
It's like it went all different colors and they had the squirrely and thin there.
Peter Max, is that what you're talking about? I did not realize.
I'll frame them. You get it.
I did not realize that the pink wings.
Oh, I want to thank you too for painting the Paul Frontiera senior photo.
I didn't remember that. I didn't remember the pink wing was for breast cancer. That's a great idea.
For breast cancer.
Oh, I thought it was.
I thought you just said it was.
No, it wasn't specifically for that.
Oh, I thought it was.
It was because we voted. And
That was before my time.
So this is what happened. At one time we said, what should the next version be?
Okay.
And we're going to take suggestions, and then we're going to narrow it down from everybody's suggestions, and that one happened to win.
Oh, okay. Oh, you went ahead and did it. Good.
I think a lot of people who would see it, though, would think that's what it's for. So it's kind of
actually, that was my thing. That was my thing.
Yeah. Yes, no, it's yes, exactly what it was. Like,
I was, yes, it was for breast cancer.
You know what we did not talk about?
What?
The piping clover.
Oh, yeah, I was saving that for the big finish.
Oh, you are? Okay,
so evidently, Kim's done.
No, I didn't realize that.
No, it all
I just didn't want to forget.
No, it all dovetails into our talk about the 10-pound island and how they're talking about how there's habitat there, nesting areas and stuff like that, and how can we have people out there because there's nesting areas. Well, you can do it just the same way you did on Good Harbor Beach. Is going to get, I'm guessing, 100,000 percent more foot traffic than 10-pound Island ever will.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
And they're still going to allow people on Good Harbor Beach, but they have the stakes with the little rope and signs that say this is protected
area. This is a protected area. Now, the main thing is...
Dogs. Bad dog owners that let their dogs off a leash and let them trounce.
Well...
Nilly-willy to the... fertile eggs trouncing the eggs.
No,
that's what I read when I read your post.
Well, you know,
you're pointing the fingers at these irresponsible dog owners.
That that happened yesterday. There's a dog running around through the area,
and the dog owner did not keep the dog out of the clover area.
Some people came and talked to him, and then he got his dog and got it on a leash. And then 5 minutes later, another dog on a leash went by, and I didn't realize it, but there are no dogs allowed on Good Harbor Beach
from
May 1st on. So there shouldn't have been any dogs, leashed or not leashed, on the beach. But people don't understand my concern is that if people disregard the signs and have their dogs running around, the feds could very easily just shut down Good Harbor Beach for the next 8 weeks.
Let's be honest.
The feds.
Let's be honest. It's not going to happen. Just like they were never going to build on the back shore.
Well,
I understand your point.
Isn't that what happens on a very large part of Cranes Beach on Plum Island? On Plum Island, isn't that? I don't know what it
happens on Nantucket. I know that.
I know that
Great
they have.
Point.
I know that they shut down beaches.
All right, so all you dog owners, unless you want us to point our fingers directly at you for your irresponsible behavior, if you're going to break the law and take your dogs on Good Harbor Beach, at least have them on a leash.
Yeah, but don't even do that because, you know, like I see birds I'm out filming and photographing birds all the time, and even if a dog's anywhere near... Like, the dog doesn't have to trounce through the area. The bird gets freaked out even if there's a big dog, you know, even if it's on its leash. You know what I mean? It freaks out the birds.
I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
When I go to Naples?
Yes.
My favorite. Honestly, this is very... it's going to seem strange and just because of the timing of it all. But literally, my favorite birds are those piping plovers.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all over down in Naples, yeah, all on the beaches down there.
Yeah.
They're the cutest little birds ever. And I'm, you know me, I am not a big wildlife person.
Are they piping plovers or are they semi-pilated pullovers?
Yeah, the little birds with the little beaks and they're pecking at the sand all the time. They look just the same way.
I love them too.
Are they different?
Yeah, because the piping plovers, like there's only 3,600 birds on the whole entire Atlantic coast right now.
They're all in Naples.
I think it could be there. Like
it's the same type of bird.
Right, there's a half a dozen.
They look
different,
a little bird.
There's sand.
A bird with a beak.
And it has wings.
There's sandpipers.
It's wings. It has to be the same bird.
Feathers.
Feathers. And there's a tail. It flies. It's the same bird, Kim. Why take steal my thunder?
They hatch from eggs.
God damn it!
I'm sorry.
You have to be such a smart. You have to be such a professional with the birds. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyways,
there's only 3,600 for real.
Along the Atlantic coast, there's another pocket in the Great Lakes region. But suppose you know, as of the last count in 2012, they were another bird that was almost hunted to extinction because of their feathers.
I think we should keep the dogs inside all the time until the birds come.
My dogs never go to Good Harbor Beach.
Yeah.
They go to Cape Hedge all the time.
Now, is Cape Hedge a beach that you can bring a dog legally? Or
not
do you
now.
Break the law?
Up until two weeks ago.
Until
but not
now. First, yeah.
So
yeah.
Now where do you take them?
On walks in the neighborhood.
Yeah. They pulled me. Was that you, by the way? Somebody honked in a truck when both of my dogs were pulling me through Rockport a couple weeks ago, and I was like, great. We don't, they go in the woods, and we have,
do
luckily,
you pick up
we have a fence
in the
back
of the woods.
All the yes, but more.
She hesitated.
No, I hesitated because I don't do a lot of the runs in the wood. They do that during the day, but I go through Rockport. I do my three and a half mile, and I bring two bags all the time. And we're lucky enough to have little dog station pickup bags if I've had to already use my bags, but I have never left any dog defecations behind.
Yes.
Anywhere.
Kim, how's the neighborhood dog walking thing going?
Right now, we just get little random walks because the kids are taking a break until school is out. So I think it was a lot for them that first year that they did it, trying to keep up with their dog walking schedule and school and extra school activities and all that. So right now, we just get these sweet kids that show up at our door about once a weekend or every couple days. One of the kids in the neighborhood shows up and says, can we walk Rosie? And then they really want to come in and have hot chocolate.
Yeah.
That's the move.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when you're a kid, right? And I have memories of this. So, like, I don't have a ton of memory from, like, one to, say, six or one to eight years old. One to six, you don't have a ton of memories. You know the memories that are etched in my brain was like when you would go to someone's house and they would give you candy.
Yeah.
Like we had these people in our neighborhood, I think it was the Grinnells.
Yeah. Yeah.
And me and my sister would walk down to their house and they would always give us these little hard candies. And like I remember that so clear as day, but I like don't remember shit about anything else.
You know what? That's the kind of memory I'm trying to create with the kids because like when I, in a couple of neighborhoods when I was growing up, I lived all over the country when I was growing up, but I do have very fond memories of like being able to walk someplace, like walk a destination and go visit. Like we used to have the flower lady in our neighborhood in the Cape, and she would always give us flowers and things like that. So I'm trying to make that kind of thing for the kids in our neighborhood.
Well, East Gloucester, I feel like the kids in East Gloucester, maybe it's the same way in Rockport. The kids do meander and go to different people's houses on their own without the parents hovering over them.
Right, no, it's fantastic.
But like a lot of other places, like you never see a child like go anywhere without their parents like delivering them and picking them up.
No, the kids, and when they get to a certain age, the moms are always like a little cautious at the beginning, because the kids are, is this one old enough?
What's the right age for kids to get the cell phones nowadays?
Oh, dear Lord. So luckily Thatcher doesn't listen to podcasts, but we've had to, Thatcher's turning 9 on Tuesday, and we finally had to step up and turn one of my old phones on for him. He's been begging for one, but it's not because I want him to have one. It's because he sails during the summer, and he is now kind of away from us. He, in Rockport, we're lucky enough that he can get on his bike, ride down to the yacht club, go sailing for 3 hours, and come home on his bike. which was a big step for us at the end of last summer to let him do that, but he has a phone. I can't get a hold of him, and I've been teaching a lot of the weekends now, and we have two different baseball games going on, so there's some leaving him at one field and taking Finn to another field, and no way of getting a hold of him, so we've had to find the age of nine.
How did we do it when we were kids? We didn't have it when we were kids.
Well, I don't think the kids were scheduled as heavily as kids are now, for better or worse. I mean, I don't remember my parents having to, like, leave three kids in three different places, and they weren't going between hockey and baseball and sailing and tennis and soccer and...
Right.
You know, heaven forbid, play practice or whatever else. So we had to get Thatcher a phone because I need to know where he is. I need him to answer.
Well, that's the logic that my 9-year-old, who's turning 10 in a couple months, has been trying to say to me. And I'm like, I look at him like, are you serious? You think I'm going to get you a phone? But I never really thought it all the way through. I don't know when I need him to have one.
Yeah. No, I get saving, it. Like, I need him to have it. I put in my parents. You know, my sister, he's got like six little phone numbers in there of people he'll be able to call starting on Tuesday when he unwraps it. It's a used phone. It's an iPhone 4 that's just been sitting on my desk for months. You know, so it's a monthly fee to turn it on, but it's super limited. But I need to be able to get a hold of him. I can't.
How old are your boys, Kat? They're 10.
What?
How old are your boys?
Oh, no, they just turned 12.
Oh, and do they have cell phones?
No.
No.
Here you are making me look bad.
I'm sorry.
I never thought I would be doing that for my 9-year-old.
Probably a huge debate among everybody. I mean, I'm not saying anyone's wrong or right, like at all. But see, she's using this logic with me, and I'm just trying to get idea what other people think because. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, I'm going to be in play practice, so, you know, you need to be able to know when I'm coming home and stuff like that. Now, she has a little iPod Touch, and so she can do FaceTime, because at school, I think they have internet or something at school or something. Okay. She can get in touch with her mom through
FaceTime?
FaceTime messaging, I think.
Oh, okay. Huh.
And, but I'm like, but if you don't, so there's so many ways of communicating that you don't actually have to have a cell plan. But you do have to have Wi-Fi.
Right. See, my boys have iPads, but they can't communicate with it. If they're home in our living room, they can text me, which they do all the time. And I'm like, I'm right here. 1,000 square feet, kids. I'm right here. I'm not in the West Wing. But they can't get a hold of me. And again, there were 2 days in the last, like, 6 months where I was like, wow, I really wish I could call Thatcher and make sure he made it to where he had to go because of our crazy schedules. And those 2 days were enough for me to be like, you know what? He's got 5 phone numbers. I mean, big deal. You know, he can't call anybody else. So it's a, you know, survival in the year 2016, I guess. But I know how busy our summer's going to be. And I don't want to be glued to the house waiting for Thatcher to come home from his 5-hour sailing lesson or whatever.
Where's he doing sailing?
Sandy Bay Yacht Club.
I think they advertised that they were going to be doing that. All the yacht clubs all have programs.
Thatcher started last year, and I can't say enough about it. Good kids down there, and great program. He loved it. I've never sailed. I live on the water, but I don't sail. But he loved it.
I think it's a great thing to get the kids into. Yeah. Anytime you can be on the water is a good thing. And they have supervised, you know, safe environment to learn how to sail. You know, it's funny. Like when we grew up, I don't know that we had a sailing program. When I was growing up, unless you were at the yacht club, and I don't know that the yacht club sailing program was open to the public.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Well, he has to have a membership. We don't, but he does, and it's very inexpensive. But in order to take lessons there, you have to get a junior membership, and then he's kind enough to share his bathrooms with us and whatnot when we need them. So that's part of the deal.
I gotta do a reach out to the yacht clubs And this, I don't know if the city, the YMCA does a sailing program too, I believe.
Yeah.
Huh. Do your kids do it?
Yeah, they do the Y one.
They do the Y.
But we've tried to do the Eastern one and the Annisquam. They're all good, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Y one is a half day and it's just worked out schedule wise.
How many days a week is it?
It's every day. But the Y is a half a day.
That's so 5 days a great day.
Half a day.
4 hours every day?
Yeah, and the other one, the Eastern, was they have one that's every single Friday, and some of them have 3 days a week.
So if you're working long.
I don't know what we do, working, like between my schedule and if they're signed up for a basketball camp. I don't know. We don't like to have tons of book stuff. So so that the half day works for our schedule.
You know, it's nice. It's really nice. Like in the winter, the kids are so, you could say overscheduled or very heavily scheduled. It's nice to have a couple. So, like, I know Madeline's soccer is going to end in a couple of weeks, and she has a couple of tournaments throughout the summer. But it's nice to not be booked, and, you know, be able to, like, do fun things with the kids, and just you and them instead of them being off at practice. You know,
or just for the kids, just to have a total unscheduled time of just, like, you know, reading books and hanging out and just being kids, you know, calling up a friend and going over to see their friend and you know, that, I don't know, I think kids need more of that, to be honest with you. So
this is the very first, because I'm home all summer because I teach, so this is the first summer that my kids are enrolled in anything other than hanging out with me, except Thatcher did, you know, 3 hours. Sandy Bay does 3 days a week, 3 hours at a shot, so Thatcher was off sailing last year, but this year they both asked to do a couple one-week sessions at camps that my school offers because they're surfing and they're paddle boarding and they're going to Thompson Island and Boston Harbor and doing Project Adventure, and they just really, they wanted to do it with their friends. Yeah. So it's the first time that I actually have a couple weeks where I'm home and the kids are in camp, and I'm like,
and are they both in the camp at the same time?
Nope, Thatcher's going up to Star Island by the Isle of Shoals for a week-long camp. That's only for his age group, and Finn's doing a mountain biking camp for his age group, so they're not together. And
I think
myself.
You know what? It might be nice if you get to spend time with one.
101. I have a week with just Finn, but not a week with just Thatcher. But
I think North Shore Kid does a comprehensive camp guide.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, do they?
Yeah, and it's really well done. Mm. Okay. If anybody's looking for different
ideas. You're going to put that in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put it in there. Jeez, I got a terrible cough. When I know it started out with...
Is it allergies?
Well, you know how it started out? I went to Naples with all the animals for the first 3 days. You know, the rabbit and my buddy Brian down there.
I thought you meant real animals.
No. Yeah, well, yeah, they are real animals. So, and one of my close high school buddies. So, the first 3 nights we were down there. When I looked at the forecast, it said it was going to be like 88 every day.
Right.
And like the low of 70. So I'm like, I'm not packing any sweaters. I'm not packing shoes. I'm just wearing sandals and shorts the whole time. So the first 3 nights I get there, the temperatures go down to like 60.
Oh, wow.
And the horror.
And no. But like your blood is thin, you know. Right. So we're in these outdoor bars. Cafes and stuff like that. Or out on the boat for the first day. And the temperatures go down. And drinking and staying out late. I'm not used to staying out late.
And you couldn't buy a sweatshirt or a jacket.
I was being stubborn for the first 3 days.
I didn't pack it.
And then Kate was coming Monday. I'm like, I'll have her bring me something. Anyway, so I got run down and I got sore throat. And now I come home with the pollen and I just can't kick this damn throat thing. I hate pollen. It's a bitch keeping my grills with the pollen on them.
So, forget about those butterflies and bees, whoever else and needs that pollen.
Oh, is that what the pollen is for? It's a joke.
It's just those piping plovers from Naples.
Let's get back to that. What kind of thing do we have here that are they trying to protect on
they're called piping plovers.
Oh, the ones that what's the thing? Sandpipers?
They're sandpipers.
I think the ones I like are sandpipers.
And also there are like maybe 6 or 7 different types of plovers. There's like Winslow plover and semi-pilated plovers you know what I mean? So I think
my eyes are starting to glaze over.
I know that.
You asked.
Usually
no, they never. No more.
Usually when I start talking about birds, he starts answering his phone and looking at it.
He did do that a while ago while I was talking, and I was like, "All right, ask."
No, I'm trying to figure out. I have people coming to my restaurants to buy some lobsters,
but when we're talking to you, like we're in a podcast, we're talking to you, and you're like, trying to like you know, like have a conversation, and then you start looking at your phone or your computer, then you're like, it's just, it just, it makes the other person
unnerving. Just,
well, yeah,
is it unnerving?
A little.
Well, I'm also looking at, I'm looking at the computer to see what the next show notes, so I see where the next segue is going to come in.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you like start answering your phone.
Well, there's also something else going on. It's Kate's birthday, and she was sleeping. She slept right through the time when the podcast started, and I wanted to communicate with her right when she woke up. So I was very conscious of looking at my phone to make sure that my beautiful betrothed was not ignored.
That's very nice.
You know what I mean? There are priorities in my life.
And then I guess it was the same.
My daughters and my Kate.
It was the same for last week, too.
What? She's shitting on me.
A little bit.
She's coming at me.
A little bit.
She's coming at me.
Might
hard.
Be deserved.
That's all right. You know what? You have actually earned enough street cred that you can actually give me this kind of ribbing. Because you're always here for the podcast. These other two are going to earn their stripes.
Rapscallions.
Yeah. So we got to do I want to do a cookout soon, so. We're going to work on doing a cookout.
Oh, that would
podcast slash cookout.
That would be so much
fun. You know, we're getting a grill.
Are you using the dartboard?
Yeah. Connor was here yesterday, and he was using the dartboard. Loves it. Yeah. He's like, where are we going to nail this into the wall at the house that we rent? And Kate's like, not sure.
Maybe on the fence outside.
Yeah, hey, that's a good idea.
I know. Well, I have kids.
That is smart. Yeah. No, that's a great idea. So we'll have the darts for maybe 16 hours, and then they'll get lost in the woods.
You know what Alex did with a dartboard in my basement? And I didn't realize it. On the boxes with all the Christmas ornaments, he put his dartboard up and broke them.
Come on.
He didn't know that they were all Christmas ornaments.
Because it went through?
Yeah.
He didn't hear the crunch at all.
Yeah, this was a long time ago when he was little, but it was just like, well. What a surprise when I went.
All right. Well, happy graduation to BJ. Happy birthday to beautiful Kate. Thank you guys for coming. Anything you guys want to say in closing? Go see Lettuce Wraps and Lovings at the, I think it's playing at P.F. Chang's. Lettuce Wraps and Plug,
no. At the Gloucester Stage.
At the Gloucester Stage. Mm-hmm. Next week, go to the Harbortown. Look for the schedule on the blog for the Harbortown Arts Market Festival thingy.
What else?
And the UU Citizenship Awards. Especially thank you to our good friend Pauline Bresnahan. For all the good work you do in the community. We're going to get the list and
we'll put
and
a post link. Up tonight.
Kate, Kim will put a post up and we'll link to that for all the winners.
Yes.
Do you have pictures of all the winners?
It's today at 3, so I'm going to take pictures of all the winners.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Great.
I'm going to try to get as many as possible.
There you go. And Nicole, next time you show up without booze for the podcast.
You just had to say the word, Joey. This is my first day off in quite a while. I would have done it.
It's kind of a tradition whenever you come for a podcast, we get hammered.
You're so full of it. Why are you going down that road again?
Well, because I know your boss listens, and I want him to have second thoughts about you being with children.
We gave compliments and big props to you earlier, and now you're going down that path again.
But please not listen.
I'm sure he's tuned out by now anyway.
There you go. All right, we got it all in the books. 183 for Kim Smith.
Bye-bye.
Nicole Schraff. She's in silence. She didn't say goodbye. She's mad at me.
Bye, I'm
now.
Sorry.
She's mad.
No,
and,
I'm not
and Kat
phone.
Ryan.
I'm doing what you do. I'm looking at my phone.
Happy birthday, Kate.
Happy birthday.